Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to a very special Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. Like I keep saying, during the quote football offseason, I get the chance, more time, to bring on some guests. Special guest today, many of you should know him, not you should get to know him, is Spanky. And welcome to the show. We're going to talk about you, Spanky, and Bet Bash, your big event that you have coming up here. And let me just say right off the bat, apologies. I saw on your Twitter timeline, there's all this excitement about Bet Bash coming up in early August in Las Vegas at Circa. And you put out there, sorry guys, delay on the agenda. I'm trying to finalize everything, et cetera, et cetera. It's me, my bad.
No, listen.
It's me, okay? Sports Injury Central, we're pleased to present a seminar there at Bet Bash. And a long time ago, you and my guy Doug set up a time. And of course, I need multiple calendars. I need to figure it out, Spanky. I got my work stuff that I can get, my regular work stuff, my orthopedic stuff, sports medicine stuff. Then there's Sports Injury Central stuff. And then there's wife and kid stuff. And this one came out of the blue because it's my brother. He's actually getting married on August 8th
in San Diego.
But here's the thing. We're good. We can stay with the 1 to 2, and I'll catch a flight back. I was just trying to see what else is going on. So if you can make it switch, you switch. If not, we're going to make it work. But let me just tell the world, it's not Spanky with the delay on the air.
Don't worry about it.
It's me.
No problem, Doc.
On that one. Well, why don't we start by, the first and most obvious thing that everyone, I'm sure, asks you. Tell everyone about yourself and tell us about Spanky. Obviously, that's not your name.
Yeah, my name is Gadun Karolis. I'm known as Spanky in the business. I got the name Spanky. My mother used to, like the little rascal, so I was always getting into trouble as a kid. So I kind of got the nickname. That was my password when I used to bet into offshore sports books on the phone. And my password was always, my username was whatever, 123 Spanky. So then people just started calling me Spanky, kind of stuck. I've been a professional sports bettor for almost 25 years now. And it's been good. I love the business. I have a betting office here in Basin, New Jersey. And I'm trying to create things for the business to kind of give back a little bit and to try to increase networking opportunities, increase education. And that's where Bet Bash comes in. And I am so pleased, Doc, that you're able to appear at Bet Bash and give a seminar on injuries and how important you are to the ecosystem, particularly with the NFL and with all the injuries involved and your analysis. And I'm sure you'll be able to shed some insight on that. So such a pleasure to have you, Doc.
Well, I think I'm going to learn more than perhaps I tell about people because, I did the same for fantasy. When I would be on SiriusXM Fantasy or even on Twitter, people would say, should I play this running back or this running back? Or what's the rank? I'm like, look, I'm not a fantasy expert. I'm an injury expert. Take my injury stuff and do what you want. And I'll say the same about the betting world. I'm not a gambling expert. You are. All your other people there are the gambling experts. Steve Fezzik's a gambling expert. I'm not a handicapper or a gambling expert. I'm an injury expert. Now, what you do with that information obviously is key. And, you know, I always try and stay in my lane. Believe it or not, you probably are not surprised by this, but I don't place any wagers. I live in California. Yeah, you could go offshore and no one would probably care. But, you know, since I'm, I guess, pseudo-involved in the space, I personally don't place any wagers because I live in California. I feel like it's too big of a potential target kind of thing. Now, when I go to Vegas, when I'm at Bet Bash, you know, there may be an account or two that I'm going to do something with or what have you. But I don't know, just following the letter of the law there. So I find it a little bit, a lot of fun potentially, and a little bit ironic that I'm speaking there. But just so you know, Spanky, I was doing this Twitter stuff and growing a pretty good following for a while, but never fully saw the, you know, monetization business side with just fantasy, you know, so much traffic and so forth. And especially the way traditional fantasy is, you know, beginning the season drafting, then you're sitting pretty, you're maybe looking at waiver wire, but that's not a weekly, daily, you know, movement. Where when PASPA happened, that's when we said, okay, there's going to be a lot of legs to this. And I, obviously the industry is still on the way up quite a bit there from my perspective. So my guess is this is the third year of Bet Bash. Are you growing exponentially? It seems like you are.
Well, no, you know, there's a linear growth. You know, it's our fourth year, actually third year in Vegas, and it's been, you know, we've increased attendance every year. But I like keeping it intimate. I'm not trying to have thousands of people there. I like an intimate setting, and the Circa is the perfect place for it, because the Circa is a sports book, one of the few sports books in the country that welcomes sharp bettors, that welcomes educated bettors. So I can't, you know, have Bet Bash in another casino where we're promoting education and trying to make bettors smarter and stronger, and then all of a sudden they wind up going to the sports book and they get kicked out. Circa is not kicking anybody out. So that's kind of why we have it at Circa. And I'm very friendly with the staff there. They're very supportive of Bet Bash. And we're growing a lot. And you know, we're excited. This year we're really pushing for the education. There'll be 24 seminars, including yourself, 6 live podcasts. We're going to have a speed networking event. We're going to have five open bars, watch parties, the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. So it's going to be a blast. I can't wait to kick it off. It's just a couple of months away, less than 2 months away now. So
yeah, well, I'm going to try and be there for as much as I can. I got to figure out this wedding thing where I'm coming back and forth, and I got to figure out the pesky thing called the three kids that with their sports schedules in school. Yeah, yeah. Thankfully, Vegas is close, you know, kind of thing. But that always a lot of moving pieces there. So thank you for bearing with me on that. I think Circa's a perfect place for it. Obviously, a huge sports book. And yeah, I think, you know, you're right. I mean, Derek Stevens, we've had him on the podcast before, is awesome. Jeff Benson's been on the podcast, you know, they're one of their main bookmakers. And Mike Palm's a great guy. I mean, you're right. That's the place. And Derek and his guys have always, how should I put it, swum upstream, right? I mean, when everyone's on the strip, he's downtown. When people are kicking people out, he's welcoming, right? I mean, he's always.
Exactly.
And that Circa swim, oh my gosh, stadium swim.
Oh, it's beautiful. The whole property is beautiful. And you know, Derek remains one of the only, if not fewer, probably only casino owner that will greet his customers. You can walk up to Derek Stevens. You could go into the Circa. He's always at the Mega Bar, or he's up at the Legacy Club, you know, any weekend night. Or you could just walk up to him, shake his hand, and say hello. And, you know, this is the old Vegas style where the casino owner would sit there and greet customers. And Derek brings that old school flair, and he really cares about the customers and gives them a fair shake, and that's all you can ask for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so maybe it's called like what's the bar that overlooks the sports book, the balcony area?
So that's the overhang bar. That's beautiful. Okay. Bar too. Yeah, that's what we're gonna. Yeah.
I've seen him there a few times.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's, you know, Derek will be at any bar. You just look for bars. And that's what, I've had a few meetings with Derek and they all took place in bars. And he's just a great guy. So supportive. I'm telling you, man, first time we ran Bet Bash a couple of years ago, I was panicking. I don't know what was this. And they do this stuff all the time. They handle events all the time. Thousands of people. So I was only hundreds of people and I was panicking and they assured me, David Rosborough and Mike Palm is right and left hand guys, such solid people, and all the people, that whole staff is just great, great guys. So you hit the nail on the head, Doc, when Jeff Benson and all those guys are just so supportive and so inviting. That's the thing. You want to feel welcome.
Yeah, no, I think that's very important. So thank you for that. And then, where do people go if they want to check out the agenda or sign up for Bet Bash? Tell them.
Yeah, betbash.co is the website. Tickets are still on sale, and we're going to be releasing the agenda shortly, sometime this week. It's going to be a blast. Again, there's 24 seminars, so they're going to be running concurrently, so you're going to have to make tough choices. A lot of people, I'm sure your seminar is going to be super popular, Doc, but there are other seminars running along with yours, so people will have to, choose if they want to go to this or that, and we're going to have various topics. The topics will include everything to, from sports betting 101 to account longevity, to how to keep your account alive for a long time, and then you have gambling and taxes, gambling and banking, gambling and the law. So the list of topics is on and on and on. It's just it's a wide gamut. We try to bring everybody. Everybody's included, from super amateur to super pro, and everybody in between. Billy Walters will be there, who speaks very highly of you, and several sports bettors, professional sports bettors that have made a career out of this will be there. And it's a great place to rub elbows with legends and pros alike. So it's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it and can't wait.
So your business is you're a pro sports bettor. Your bigger passion, Bet Bash or trying to get some regulatory reform to not get sharp bettors kicked out? What is your bigger passion? Or both? Both, obviously.
Yeah, they're both. Right now we're starting a nonprofit that's going to be launching next month called the American Bettors Voice. And we're trying to have a seat at the table for regulatory meetings and legislative meetings. We're just trying to work with operators, regulators, legislators to try to make this a sustainable industry. And, everybody's goal is to try to keep everything onshore, to try to keep everything inside the states. But, with the sportsbooks kicking everybody out, people like me have to resort to playing offshore, because I wouldn't be able to survive. I wouldn't be able to run my business if I was just exclusively betting at domestic sportsbooks. I'm kicked out of 90% of the sportsbooks in the state, in the country. So it's difficult, and we kind of want to change that and find a way for these operators to employ a risk management strategy that accepts all customers and that doesn't have to resort to the extreme measure of severe limiting or kicking out their tax-paying citizens. So.
Well, I think that's, you just said it, for the regulators, what you have them at taxes, right? The offshore, how do you really figure out the taxes? But if you're in the U.S. and it's legal and you're letting people, then you can figure out the taxes. That's probably the incentive, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And a lot of operators, again, it's this European invasion, I say, and it's not the good kind, like the Beatles, where they kind of kick sharp bettors out, and this is the model that the quote unquote recreational model, where if you have a half a pulse, you get tossed, you get limited. Where I think if you just if these operators employed the proper talent and to try to use the sharp action to be able to adjust their lines accordingly and to be able to generate more income, sure, your hold will be less, but you'll generate more money, and that's the bottom line. You want to make more money. And I think that operators today, bookmaking is an art form, and I think that operators today don't employ the proper bookmakers to be able to utilize sharp information and act accordingly. Billy Walters always says it best. You know, a lot of bookmakers that booked him have made a lot of money booking Billy Walters bets over the years. Why? Because they knew how to utilize that information, adjust their numbers accordingly, and book to Billy's side. Even though Billy beat these bookmakers, that didn't matter. The bookmakers still made more money accepting Billy Walters' wagers. And I wish operators could kind of see that. The forest for the trees type thing and understand that principle. So we're going to try to push that as much as possible.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we're going to talk about there is and I'm actually looking forward to, Spanky, your feedback and the feedback of your attendees because, you know, we know injuries and we know blindly if you go by our six scores, which, you know, we're looking at, team's health. And it's not even breaking it down. We break it down to offensive line, run game protection versus pass game protection, blah, blah, blah. But if you just blindly over the 4 years took our six score against the spread, and we are not even worried about what the spread is. If you just blindly said, you know, numerical, a 10-point system, 10-point health difference, one or the other, Craig, our CEO of the company, he tells us and Doug that we've been hitting over 4 years at 55.2%. If you just blindly went by that, that's not taking into account how a team's been injured for six straight weeks and the gambling world knows about it. That's not taking into account anything specific. It's just sort of blindly based off the scores. And we're looking for ways to be smart about it and make that better. Number better and more useful, because I think if you really took out the extraneous factors, you know, of in terms of recency, if a team really gets banged up the first 4 weeks of the season and week, you know, 5 through 8, they're banged up by week 7, the world knows it, right? Without my reports, because they've seen it with their eyes, yeah, and the results kind of thing. And the other thing that we always find, like this year, and this, it goes for basketball too. Early in the play, we're better in the regular season than the playoffs because the healthier teams survive. Yeah. And we're much better in the early rounds of the playoffs, the wild card round. Let's say Dolphins with their injured linebacking core that was really decimated going against the Chiefs. But guess what? By the championship round, it's only healthy teams left, right?
Yeah.
And so it gets harder and kind of thing. It's not just a numbers game. So we're looking forward to the interaction with you and really your people. And I'll be there. I'd love to talk to anyone, but our staff will be there. I think we're all going to wear these silly red shirts, so we might be noticeable.
No, that's great. No, listen, anybody that's handicapped, injuries are such an important factor, and it's, we utilize injuries and information as much as possible. And anybody that's seriously betting, you must utilize your service, Doc. Even, you know, I don't know, you know, blindly, we don't like, you know, me personally as a pro bettor, we don't do anything blindly, but to supplement our research and our work, by all means, I think that utilizing your service is a must. I know Billy Walters mentioned on Joe Rogan podcast that he's a big fan of your work, and we all are trying to get that information. And like you said, buying on the rumor, selling on the news type thing, you know, you want to be able to utilize that the first week or two where it's not as known, and then adjust accordingly when the injury is more known. So yeah, all these things are such important factors, and I'm sure you guys are going to be touching on that stuff.
We'll touch on that, and also, you know, how, you know, opening, I get you can't get down as much in the opening line versus the closing line, but there's a fair amount of movement that happens on injury when on top of that.
Absolutely. I think beating pro football, the easiest way to do it is, in any sport, is to try to bet into the opening line. So most bettors out there betting into the opening line, you get an adequate limit that'll satisfy most bettors' appetites. So by all means, and I think that being able to analyze your information, to be able to crack that opener is such a key thing. And I think that a lot of people could profit from that.
All right. Thank you so much. And, Devin and our little doggy here at home office today. Say hello.
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 Awesome. All right. Thank you, Spanky. We'll touch base again, and I'll look forward to seeing you at Bet Bash. Right now, I think I'm speaking August 8th because that's what I know my brother's we'll figure it out.
We'll try to move things around. I'll do my best, Doc.
Either way. We'll make it out. My apologies again. Thanks for joining us. Thank you. Appreciate you. And I wonder what percent of the world still knows Spanky as Little Rascals. I mean, as we get older,
I don't know how many of your listeners know that. You know what I mean? I think anybody below 30 wouldn't know it. You know, it's
30. I might say older than that. I mean, I should put up a poll for you.
Yeah.
Origin of Spanky, Little Rascals, or OnlyFans? OnlyFans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. That's great. Yeah, it's. I was a big fan of watching that show too, as well. So it's always good comedy, and Loved it.
All right. Thanks, Banky. And we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back with part two of the Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast. Lots of baseball injuries.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Rack up the deals on everything summer at Nordstrom Rack and get brands you love up to 60% off. Vince, Kate Spade New York, Steve Madden, Madewell, Nike, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Just in dresses, tops, shorts, sandals, sneakers, denim, luxury bags, and sunglasses. Rack up the deals today and save up to 60% on summer at your Nordstrom Rack store.
Basketball's done, and we'll get into some football as well. Thanks for watching. All right, welcome back to part two of the Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast. Thanks to Spanky for starting and running Bet Bash and coming on our show here. I look forward to it. You look forward to it, Taylor?
I'm excited. I wore the polo just like you did today, just to showcase what we're going to look like, right, walking around.
You might be more excited about the four open bars he's talking about.
Yes, yeah. And you know me, I'm a fanboy. I love to see all the billions of better people that I've been following over the past couple of years. I do want to say about the Rascals thing, you're totally correct on that 30. It definitely needs to go up a little bit because I'm 31 and I know Little Rascals don't know the names of any of them. So
I think it's probably like at least 40, if not 50. All right. Right. I mean, look, Little Rascals, it was in black and white.
Right. Right.
So even for me, I saw it like in reruns, you know, home officing today. Hi. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Yes. What's up? For a kissy. Okay. All right. I try to circumvent the knock at the door from the dog by leaving the door cracked though, as the dog just rattles the door.
Oh, I just shut the door because the dog will guarantee you in mind.
Yeah. Well, the dog's in here now. The dog's more better behaved than Devin. No, just joking. All right.
Let me start you off a little bit, Doc. Just start with the local. Big news. We posted a lot of stuff last night about Padres continually get hurt every single week on the podcast, Doc. I bring up Bogaerts. I bring up, you know, Musgrove. Now we have Tatis now. What are your thoughts on that?
Wait. Bogaerts. Tatis has been injured. Now we'll talk about him. Musgrove. Darvish.
Machado.
Machado. I mean,
the longer list, I shortened it a bit for you, but yeah, there's a lot of players too.
Is I mean, is that the list of Padres stars or is that the list of injured? I mean, if you listed the Padres stars, the five top Padres stars, that would be the five, wouldn't it?
Yep. That's would be 100 million plus just sitting around or just, you know, hampered at some in some way. It's
so someone can do the math on this, but the Padres have more people on the payroll injured than some clubs have in total.
Yes, you can 100% say that. Yes, I don't even need to look.
All right, so let's talk about Tatis. Full disclosure, I'm a Padre fan. My son, you know, he loves it. He's playing baseball. We got an all-star little 11-year-old playoff game tonight. But anyways.
Beautiful.
He's mad about that. Why? It's Ha-Seong Kim bobblehead night. He wants that bobblehead. He ain't going to watch this, but I did call a friend. Hey, can you snag him a bobblehead? Because he loves Ha-Seong Kim, right? But anyways, so I'm a Padre fan. I root for their success, full disclosure. But we still do our job on injury analysis. In no way, shape, or form am I being critical of the Padres team, coaching, players, or medical staff in any way, shape, or form. They have had an unfair number of injuries. And the other thing I always say, Taylor, you know this, I'm not calling anyone a liar. It's coach speak and spin and messaging. Let's take Porzingis day to day in the NBA championships with that posterior tip subluxation. To the Celtics' credit, they put it out to the world exactly what it was. Medial retinac, then posterior tib, out of place, etc. And off of that, I said, he's not day-to-day. He's, you know, done, so to speak. Now, it did turn out, obviously. He played in the final game, limited minutes. We saw him dunking and hang onto the rim because he didn't want to land on the ankle. He was far from 100%. And sure enough, the day after the season, he has surgery. And word comes out he had to convince the medical staff to let him to play a little bit, this, that, the other. Clearly wasn't 100%. Were the Celtics lying about day-to-day? I mean, I guess in the end he played a little bit. But, of course, they were spinning, okay? Right. Now, I was never saying the Celtics medical staff didn't know what was going on. Twitter world said that some. Like, you seem to be criticizing them. How do they not know what's going on? They're examining him. They get to look at the MRI. How do the Celtics not know what's going on when they had him scheduled for surgery the day after the season was over?
Right.
They didn't do that while they were popping champagne. That was the deal that they already struck. So this is what I always say. If from the outside we don't know the whole story or think someone made a bad decision, we just don't know the whole story. It's happened to me with the Chargers too. So right. I always try and give everyone some grace. And I'm not being critical, but clearly Porzingis's public-facing story was different than the inside story, right? And that's right. What teams do. I would argue the same with Tatis right now. So with that, this is no criticism of the Padres, and specifically not of the medical staff, athletic trainers, or anything, the messaging. So I get it, some fans, but what they have now released is clearly different than their messaging before. Before they were saying some sort of quad issue, quad strain, which is a muscle. That's why he can play through. The big news here is Mike Schilt, the manager, says it's a femoral stress reaction. Femur means bone, the biggest bone in your body, the thigh bone, the femoral bone.
Right.
And it is likely a stress, it's called a stress reaction. So the big difference is this is now a bone issue versus muscle issue. Muscle issues heal much more quickly than bone issues because of vascularity and blood flow. A paper cut takes longer to heal than when you cut yourself shaving because of vascularity and blood flow. So this is going to be a much longer injury. They're not saying stress fracture. Mike Schilt talked around that. Look, in medical terms, stress fracture, stress reaction is a matter of degrees. Okay. Stress reaction is your seeing signal. either on a bone scan or an MRI. Stress fracture is maybe when you see a clear line. But a stress reaction is headed towards a stress fracture. It's a matter of degrees. Think of it this way. If you say a grade 3 hamstring or quad tear is the muscle pulled apart in two and call that a fracture, a grade 1 is a quad strain where microscopically the muscle has been injured. Right. So a strain is a tear. A stress reaction is an early stage fracture, which is why they need to rest him, and they're smart to rest him. So the first question fans may ask is, why didn't they figure this out earlier? Okay, fair question. A, maybe they knew and they weren't saying. I don't know. Mike Schilt did say, we've known about this for a couple days, and there's been a couple days where he's been out and they haven't said anything.
Right.
And yes, he did play through, and Mike Schilt is correct. He has played through fairly effectively, which you can play through stress fractures, but you're risking further injury. What, Antonio Gibson, running back, had a stress fracture in his tibia for the Washington Commanders and played through that season in football, okay? So he's right about that. But they should shut him down now, and they are at least right now. The other reason before you start criticizing the staff, I've been there before. Hey, let's get an MRI on this quad strain. No, I'm fine. I'm good, Doc. I'm good. Maybe Tatis waved him off. Then you'd say, well, should you let him wave him off? That's a whole different question. You know, bottom line is, you know, the team doctors, I don't know to what extent they tried to get an MRI or convince him. They may have a lot, right? So it's hard to blame them. I'm not blaming them. But Mike Schilt was describing classic stress fracture symptoms. Mm-hmm. The way he was saying it was the jarring of even jogging. It was the deceleration. Basically, yeah. Whenever there's stress on bone, it didn't act like a muscle injury. And who knows, maybe they finally won the battle of Tatis. You need to get an MRI, and they finally got one. So I'm not being critical of the Padres at all. But here's the other thing. This is lasting a lot longer than 10 days. Okay, by the way, you heard it here first. Tatis, he probably wasn't there anyways, but he was rising. Well, there's no possible way he'll win the MVP this year at this point in time. He's going to miss that much time.
Yep.
He's going to miss over 10-day IL. Mike Schilt's already talking about it being fortuitous. They're trying to pair the 10-day IL with the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. Right? And, you know, let me tell you another secret that you know this is going to longer than 10 days. They're not going to retroactively put Tatis on the 10-day IL because they could do that, right? They want to almost proactively put him on the IL because they want to be able to call up a replacement.
Right.
Like he missed a couple games already, and they won a couple games while he was out, lost some, but won some. But you don't want to short the 10-day IL to 7 days because he's going beyond 10 days. If anything, you want him shifted forward, the 10-day IL. And he's going to miss at least through the All-Star break. Here's the thing medically. Stress reactions or bone injuries heal in the best case scenario in weeks. Muscle injuries heal in the best case scenario in days. Mm-hmm. Bone injuries in the worst case scenario heal over months. Muscle injuries in the worst case scenario heal over multiple weeks. This is why this is bad news for the Padres and Tatis. Is he injury prone? I don't see it. I mean, he had that scaphoid. He had the dislocating shoulder. He gets injured, but he's the Matrix, right? He does so many things and he plays all out. But I don't see any of these as related. So I don't love injury prone as a designation. But just so people know, your bone is alive. It's not like cement and it's dead, okay? It's more like a tree as I look out to my backyard. See, a cement fence or a wall or a post, metal post, it's dead. It just sits there. The tree is alive. It can blow and sway in the wind. You know, it can get knocked over a little bit, slightly crooked, and grow straighter. That's your bone. It's alive. So the molecules of calcium that are there today aren't necessary tomorrow. So there's constant remodeling, new bone being laid down and old bone being taken away. And a stress reaction is the forces are the relaying down of new bone is not keeping up with the breakdown of old bone. Right. That's the stress reaction. And that's where there's got to be some rest here. And it's measured in the best case scenario in weeks, plural. Could it become months? It could. We're not there yet. Best case scenario, look, if Tatis can come back after the All-Star break, which is what, three some weeks away? Something like that?
Three.
Almost that would be the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. As a Padre fan, if Tatis came avoided 60-day IL, I'd throw a party. If he came back right now at 60 days and was good the rest of the season, if as a Padre fan, I would take it. Mm-hmm. I would take it. Cut your losses. I would take it. So this is why it's a big deal. This is why his six score is so low. I mean, he's going to play less than half of the remaining 79 games.
Yeah, just for his odds, FanDuel, he was 950 when we looked at it a couple days ago. It's now 3,000 now. So you have people like Ohtani and Harper are leading the charge now.
Ohtani and Harper is going to be one of those two at this point in time. Harper's pretty good money because Ohtani, I guess he could win the award not pitching, but he's known as a pitcher too. Anyway, so I didn't mean to bang Tatis to death there, but that is the breaking news story. And this sort of long-form podcast, better than the little YouTube videos, I think I can explain the whole thought process more, where I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm just telling you what it is. This is our what we do, injury analysis versus injury reporting. Injury reporting would be Mike Schilt says this. Mike Schilt is optimistic of this. That's injury reporting. We're telling you what it is. We did the same with Tatis with his wrist. Saying, right. Well, he's going to miss a good part of the year, you know, that so forth. And we weren't predicting that he would need a second surgery, right? What about his shoulder? We said the surgery was inevitable on his shoulder. It's a matter of when, not if. And he ultimately got that surgery and thankfully hasn't had any problems from it. So anyways.
Another Padres guy, Doc, just want to go on to Darvish. So he was about to go on his rehab start soon due to groin. They said he has inflammation in his elbow now, the right elbow. So that will keep his rehab start postponed for a little bit.
Well, head, shoulders, knees, and toes, right? Yep. Groin can become elbow because you stride and pitch differently and more stress and the whole deal, right? I mean, in auto racing, when one auto part isn't working right, it leads to other injuries or other issues, mechanical issues in your car. I will admit, you'll laugh at me at this one. I did watch the Mike Schilt dugout press conference just to get source material. You sent it to me. Mm-hmm. They said, and they were talking about all their injuries, and a reporter said, are you pitching? Is something about you pitching tomorrow? Question. And I was like, is this a joke? He's asking if Mike Schilt's going to pitch tomorrow. He got me with that one. I was like, pitch? They caught my ear. Like, what? You pitching tomorrow? I thought they were telling a joke. And he said, no, Darvish is not pitching tomorrow. Got to be careful here. It's a long season. Not good news for the Padres, for sure.
Going to football now, Doc. Big news was the health issue. Barry Sanders, he dealt with a little health scare. Hopefully he's okay, right? That's a big guy that have an issue like that. One of the best players.
Well, you know, health scare. I mean, he hasn't specified what. How old is Barry Sanders?
Say over 60.
I mean, look, we always remember people when we first meet them. We all remember Barry Sanders running crazy in Detroit, whatever. But he's not a spring chicken.
55. Right? Spring chicken.
Well, I shouldn't call it. He's young. He's young. It's all a matter of perspective.
He's close to me.
I'm scared. So I'll tell you a funny story. When Detroit was winning their playoff game to get to the Super Bowl, right? They were winning. I was over at a friend's. I was still watching, working, right? And this one guy, I won't say his name, was saying, oh, this is going to be great. Detroit's going to win and this, that, the other. And, you know, I hear the room is going to be great and they're going to suit Barry Sanders up in the Super Bowl to try and give him a carry and get him a Super Bowl and make it. I'm like, dude, he's 50 some years old. Not a chance. That would, do you realize how valuable roster spots are? I mean, you have a revolt in that locker room if you tried to, I mean, besides it not working. Oh, but it's just one ceremonial handoff. They'll be able to get that.
It doesn't look good.
Not a chance in the world. I mean, you would have the 53 players on the team go on strike if you tried to do that. I mean, like, that is so – I mean, roster spots are so valuable. Like, people get mad when a guy gets hurt after the 90-minute inactives.
Right.
Because I'm starting the game a player short. You can't – I mean, anyways. But glad Barry seems okay. Didn't mean to digress there.
George Kittle, there's reports. We have multiple reports about his core muscle surgery at sixcore.com. There was reports, though, that he did lose 30-plus pounds due to the, you know, surgery recovery. Do you see anything bad with that news medically?
Well, like we say, injury reporting has said he's lost 30 pounds.
Right.
Injury analysis is where we're at. I don't know if we have enough information. If you're really telling me George Kittle is 30 pounds lighter today than when he played last year, huge deal. That guy doesn't have that much body fat.
Right.
Okay. But people speak in hyperbole sometimes. Because I wasn't able to work out because of the core muscle surgery. At one point in time, I lost 20-some pounds. I rounded up to 30, you know, water weight when I weighed in one morning. What's his weight now, right? And was like, I saw pictures of you. It wasn't like Tua, who, oh, he looks different.
Right.
I'm a little, is 30-pound weight loss, would 30-pound weight loss for George Kittle be a huge deal for his performance this season? Yes. Do I fully buy that happened? I don't know. I get he said it. So I'm not doubting his word, but time frame matters and the whole story matters. So unless you guys feed me some more recent information confirming what it is, I'm kind of shrugging at that right now.
Going on a postdoc from Dove Kleinman, speaking of heavy and lightest, he posted a graphic of the heaviest and lightest players in the NFL currently. What are your thoughts on that graphic?
Well,
380 is the highest right there from the Ravens offense.
First of all, you got to understand NFL weights, right? There's no weight police. It's what the team/PR/player put down.
Right.
I mean, there's quite a bit of variation. Nick Hardwick, who's now coaching for the Chargers, or otherwise we'd get him back on the podcast here. I don't like interviewing active coaches or players because you got to go through PR and be careful and whatever. And we're not trying to break news. But Hardwick was a guy that was always listed at 305 or something. He was not. I mean, he put weights in his pants to weigh in kind of thing. And he was a great player, right? Kind of thing. So listed weight and real weight is potentially different, first of all. I am... You know, it's sort of like, you know, it's maybe not as bad in high school where you list the guy 6'2 and he's all a 5'10, right? 6'2 with cleats in the top of his helmet, maybe, right? I mean, so there's a lot of gamesmanship there. But here's what I took away from it. I'm surprised there were a couple of guys in the 150s, right? But I'm surprised that I think the weight is actually even higher than what they list. Look, we've had Aaron Gibson was 410. Nate Newton was listed over 400. Okay. But here's the thing that relates to injuries. William Refrigerator Perry. Are you old enough to know who that is?
I do know who that is. Yes.
He was, oh my God, he was a 300-pound guy and he was running the ball, you know, full back belly and this, that, the other. His official listed weight was 335. And at the time, he was an anomaly. 335 is far from an anomaly right now.
Right.
You know what William Perry's nickname was? The Fridge. But you know what teammates called him?
No.
Wait, remember, I have some Chicago Bears history. I helped out as a
assistant
and whatever it was in Chicago during the 86 Bears, et cetera. They're a great team. Jim McMahon, we've had him on the podcast, et cetera. They nicknamed him Biscuit. You want to know why?
Why?
Although he was listed at 330 or whatever, they said he was a biscuit away from 350. That was it. Okay. That's... 350, does anyone even shrug right now at 350? I mean, you go, whatever. And at the time, in the late 80s, that was a big number. What's the injury point? Is who's the number one guy? Who's 3'8"? Who's the number one guy?
Daniel Falefe. I can't say his name correctly. He's 380 right now, offensive lineman.
Swing. Or the Eagles left tackle.
Jordan Malata. Yeah, he's at 365. 365,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Jordan Malata, any of these guys, even if you're 370, your Achilles doesn't get any bigger than someone who weighs 175. Your ACL doesn't get any proportionately thicker. So why do we have more injuries? Why do you have more foot injuries? Your foot size is your foot size.
Yep.
It's like loading your car or pickup truck full of gold bars or whatever weight or passengers, but having the same original tires and suspension. That's why we get more injuries now, especially foot and ankle, Achilles, knee, etc. Look at the size of these guys, and then you add in the force, right? That's where this comes from. Look at how big these guys are. As you keep planting bigger and bigger trees in the same size pot, what's going to happen, right? And so it's bigger, faster, stronger, more force, more stress. And that's...
three names on this list, Doc, that jump out at me is DeJuan Jones, the rookie from Browns that had multiple issues last year, knee injury, season ending. Then you have Mekhi Becton, who we've covered multiple times at sixscore.com, right, with a patella dislocation. He's injured two times. And then you have Michael Pierce and Trent Brown. Michael Pierce is D-tackle. It's been injured multiple times this career. And then Trent Brown, right, Doc? We've covered him multiple times, including the lung thing he had. So you might be, I don't, that might be coincidental, but like a lot of these people on the list have dealt with very significant season long injuries.
Yeah, I would say that that's a little bit anecdotal because you're looking at 10 players, right?
Yeah.
10 really healthy and 10 really bad, right? I mean, yeah, they're higher weights, but in general, look, when you're in the trenches, you get injured more. So there's already part of it, right? There's more contact in every play. But bottom line is, yeah, there's something to this bigger, faster, stronger, et cetera, deal. And that's why, but I looked at that, you know, I forget where it was from. I know Dove posted it. It came from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, you know, how the game has changed in size and what it has to do with injuries.
One thing we talked about, non-football injury that you posted a big video on was the cancellation, of the McGregor fight. He doesn't like when people talk crap about him. So he's one of those people that's going to give you all the information, right, when they say that. So he did a good job. He gave us pictures. He gave us an x-ray of his, foot. So tell me what you saw in, the pictures with Conor McGregor.
Well, I mean, look, I think I defended McGregor on that. Maybe he'll send me a bottle of his whiskey or something.
Yes.
What's it called? Proper. What's it called? I don't even know.
Proper.
Whatever. Thank you. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is, what he showed was a toe fracture, fifth toe, pinky toe fracture, proximal phalanx, a little bit displaced, significant, very painful. He showed the bruising. So it seems real. It seems like his foot, unless it's all a quote deep fake or something.
Right.
I buy into it. Timing is a question. It seems like it was a few weeks ago. It would have affected his training. Here's what I would say about McGregor. There's no question in my mind, if he broke his toe in the middle of the fight, he would have continued fighting. First of all, you wouldn't even have an x-ray. It would just hurt like crazy, and he'd modify what he was doing, and he'd finish the fight.
Right.
But why go into a fight with a broken toe? One kick and now it hurts again and now you're hobbled. You're not 100%. So I back him up that the injury is real. And you don't want to go into a fight with less than. I've covered some UFC before in mixed martial arts, et cetera. As a matter of fact, was it, I don't know how many years ago, McGregor had a huge fight of the century at the time, Jose Aldo.
Yep.
Aldo's camp came to me because there was people questioning his rib fracture, right? And they said, they actually said, here's his MRI, here's his imaging. What does this show? I said, a rib fracture. And they said, well, do you mind telling the world that, you know? So as long as I have HIPAA permission to publish this, and we did, and it was real in my mind. Could they have faked the MRI? It's hard to fake all the images they sent, but I mean, I guess he could have gotten someone else's and labeled it differently. And some people called me out that it was a fake because it wasn't Jose Aldo. It was, you know, typical Brazilian, like 17 names, right? And it didn't all fit on the MRI picture, but it was him. So yeah, so I'll back you up, Conor McGregor. I mean, kind of thing, legit to postpone it.
Big soccer tournaments be going on, Euros going on. We have injuries on Lewandowski. We had now the Copa. There's obviously been some talk with the turf and the grass, how they're doing the changeover. Big injury that happened for Mexico. Their captain suffered a hamstring injury. That's a big injury, but how do you feel about the turf and grass switchover for this, the Copa America that's happening in the United States currently?
Well, you hear all the complaints about the grass. Mm. I get it. There's a lot of NFL fans and players that are saying WTF. Soccer comes in, you lay down a grass field, you can't lay down a grass field for us. There's no football player that wants to play on grass that was laid down 2 days ago. No soccer player really wants to play on that grass. 160-pound guy running, true roll of the ball, and they're complaining. What about 320-pound guys tearing up the turf?
Right.
Now, I get it, thick cut, they roll it in, et cetera. But some stadiums, you can't roll it in. What are the seams like? What's the, you know, footing like? If soccer players don't like the field now, I don't see how that works for football. It'll be interesting. I mean, look, I get it. I'm the first one to say I think grass is safer than turf for football. But unless you go back and redesign all these stadiums, which ultimately may be coming, but that's decades, not happening next season. Very difficult, especially inclement weather. And then you got to install how are you going to do it in New York or New Jersey? How are you going to have a Sunday night game and then a Monday night game? Sunday night, Sunday Jets and a Monday night, and it rains. I mean, how are you going to do that, right? It's very, very difficult problem question. But I'm curious, I haven't seen it, but did the newly laid grass, in terms of the footing, either uneven footing or poor footing, have to do with the hamstring? I don't know.
Right.
We used to have hamstring injuries in Oakland, the old Coliseum, because it was still one of the last stadiums that had baseball dirt early season. So you'd be running on good footing in the grass, and you go onto the dirt. It's almost like you need different shoes, and you're looking at the play. You don't know your footing has changed. Look, Wes Welker famously tore his ACL in Houston on a seam in the pallets of grass that used to be in Houston. Mm-hmm. Kind of deal. So it's the evenness of the surface. So it's a deal. It's an interesting story. It's developing, and we still have a good podcast guest coming up that I think we will talk about that with from the end. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to finish this off, Doc, with a right or wrong section. You already talked about Porzingis. That's
you call that a right or a wrong?
I was about to say, I'm going to do that's right for me because, I like sometimes when they actually do play because then you get to see visually what you're actually talking about. You were maybe wrong that he wasn't out for the whole series. But, I mean, watching him play, he's visually out for me, right? So, I don't know. Technically, I don't know what you could say, but –
I mean, return to play is an interesting thing. I mean, guy gets in for a decoy play and you say, oh, he's back, but is he really back? I don't know. From a medical perspective, there was nothing for me to write or be right or wrong about. The Celtics told you what he had. All I did was interpret what that would mean. And he had surgery the day after the season was over. It's just not a day-to-day from my perspective.
So at the in Paris a couple days ago or yesterday, Joe Burrow and his best friend, Justin Jefferson of the Vikings, debuted some new fashion. You saw Burrow's tux or jacket. Is that right or wrong?
I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, is that purposeful or did some protester sneak up and cut out the back of his jacket? I mean, I got to give him kudos and bravery for wearing it, right? I mean, obviously he's in great shape, but it's like, where do you, I don't know. Maybe high fashion isn't my thing. You know who I told to talk about? You guys should watch it. Vaughn Parker's podcast. He's doing it with, I forget her name, a lady named Kim. She was a fashion expert and retail buyer. I think they're the ones that should break down and analyze that stuff. And I look forward to their
Met Gala, right? Like when they first did that, you said that would have been a good idea for their pod because she would have been.
Yeah, well, we had Vaughn on, and you know, look, this is the stuff. What the coaches are wearing at the annual meeting picture. This is what they should talk about. But they could do a full breakdown. I'll let them do the full breakdown. I just raised my eyes. I mean, I don't know. You know, my deep down thought is, I hope Kim isn't trying to buy any of that stuff for me because A, it's going to be expensive as whatever. Expensive no.
Where? That's an expensive no. Right. The final one, Doc, I had is a video circulated past couple days of a pickleball superstar training himself on the weightlifting
machine. Is he a superstar or is he a guy?
Oh, that was a joke. No, that's just a normal person. Is that a right or wrong though?
I think it's clearly wrong, and I think it's staged. Right?
Yeah.
That was staged. He goes and takes a pickleball handle, puts it on a weight rack, and does a couple of these. Like, okay, first of all, he doesn't do very much. Second of all, where's the backhand side? I mean, if you're like, that was a deep fake for whatever. It was good humor. Let me tell you something. Pickleball is the new jam. Okay,
yeah,
I see patients, you know, older, middle age. The pickleball is it. Lots of pickleball injuries too. I mean, I remember back. Are you old enough to remember the Wii?
The Wii, like the game system? Yes. That's
Yes. So I see a lot of pickleball injuries now. I used to see Wii injuries.
Okay.
When they came out. You know what they were?
What?
True. Wii bowling injuries.
Okay.
Because people would try and bowl and they try and slide.
Oh.
And their foot would stick on the carpet or a spot, and then they tear their ACL. Wow. Wii injuries were real.
Wow.
Because people were like, you know, you heard about the Wii, oh, I let the controller go and I broke my teeth. It's like, yeah. You know how you slide when you're trying to bowl, so they try to mimic that, and it'd be on their carpet or their kitchen floor or living room floor or whatever, and sometimes shoes, no shoes, socks, and they'd stick somehow on uneven surface, and boom, pop their ACL. We saw a lot of those.
That's crazy. Very real.
But Doc, all right. Thanks for watching. Hopefully we'll see some of you at Bet Bash. We have more guests coming up. Our rescheduled guest from this week is a really good one that's going to answer a lot of questions for us. We'll leave it as a little pseudo surprise right now. But injury analysis. Hopefully no more Padres to talk about here, except maybe good news. Go to Sports Injury Central, SICScore.com for the latest. Thanks for watching and love it if you want to do one of those reviews for us, positive reviews. Thank you.
When you earn your degree online at Arizona State University, you get everything the nation's most innovative university has to offer. The same internationally recognized faculty, the same nationally ranked programs, the same degree. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Rack up the deals on everything summer at Nordstrom Rack and get brands you love up to 60% off. Vince, Kate Spade New York, Steve Madden, Madewell, Nike, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Just in dresses, tops, shorts, sandals, sneakers, denim, luxury bags, and sunglasses. Rack up the deals today and save up to 60% on summer at your Nordstrom Rack store.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Luc Foote.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold-pressed to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.